I'm Rick Moore, and this is Connections, a podcast connecting you with news, newsmakers, sports, and entertainment voices all over the North Shore, brought to you by Moynihan Lumber of Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, and by the Institution for Savings, based in Newburyport, with branches throughout the region. Well, if it's every other Thursday, it must be Taylor Ann Bradford from the Gloucester Times. And Taylor Ann, welcome back. How are you?
Good. Thank you so much for having me.
Geez, there's so much that goes on your coverage of the Times every 2 weeks that we sort of have to limit fleshing out these stories. And I'm really happy to be able to do that because you give so much insight to this stuff. And I want to start with a front page story in Thursday's Gloucester Times on the former city clerk Linda Lowe. Just as an aside, I have to tell you that Linda was my prom date my senior year in high school. So
really?
Yes.
Oh my goodness.
Yes, she was. She was Linda Thomas then, and I had just moved from Texas. I spent my senior year up here at Gloucester High School as my first year in Gloucester, and Linda was so kind and very nice to escort us around and to be my prom date. And one little story, and everybody knows Linda as the city clerk and knows that she passed away recently, sadly. They used to have, it was something called the sergeant's party in lieu of, the prom. But, a bunch of us were dressed up, of course, the guys in our tuxedos and the girls in their prom gowns. There was a carnival in town at that time, and it was a couple of weeks before Fiesta, so it wasn't the Fiesta of a carnival. And the carnival, I believe, was over at Stage Fort Park, where they used to be. So wouldn't you know, a bunch of us go up there. We go to the carnival in tuxes and gowns, and of course, you got to ride the Ferris wheel, and of course, there's grease all over it. So I'm not sure Linda or her family ever forgave me for taking her to the carnival that night.
Oh my goodness. Well, it seems, Rick, that you are one of many people who has just such a positive memory of Linda. Unfortunately she passed away, but it seems like her legacy and just the loving and intelligent and funny person that she is really is just going to be remembered throughout the city as people mourn and remember her. So for people who don't know, Linda Lowe is a Gloucester resident, and she passed away this month, unfortunately, and had the opportunity yesterday to kind of give a call to a few people who just really either worked alongside her or knew her from childhood. And so Linda had served for nearly two decades as Gloucester's general counsel under Mayors Toby and John Bell until 2008. And, you know, would then come back later to serve as city clerk under Mayor Bruce Toby. And, you know, I spoke with Bruce Toby, and he just said, you know, just so many great memories. And they had to work really hard as they dealt with stressful situations and just spoke volumes of her, I think, her intelligence, her competence, and her steadfastness in her job and just kind of what it meant to not only be a coworker but also a friend. And so she retired as a clerk in 2016 and handed it over to the current city clerk, Joanne Sinos. And again, just everybody, Joanne, the assistant city clerk, Grace, family, friends, people who she used to babysit, all of these people just said, you know, they remember Linda as somebody who not only loved her city, but also loved baseball, which I think is just such a great, great thing to think about, is just, you know, Linda hardworking, you know, figuring out how to make city processes as fluid as possible, make them as functional as possible, and then, you know, in the same breath being able to talk about, you know, who's on first, what's on second, you know, how the Red Sox are obviously the supreme baseball team over the New York Yankees, but really, really sad and unfortunate loss here in the city, but obviously one that she will be remembered for a very long time and the impact we still see today. So,
well, I'm very glad you did the story on her. She was a great, great person and very, very easy with a smile. And the thing that comes to my mind, Taylor, is there are so many good people and good, hardworking people in civil service, in city service, in service to others, that it would be to me, it would be great if we could get more of those stories out, like in the media, in the papers, here on the websites and things like that. And we just don't know about some of these things sometimes until it's too late. But Linda was appreciated, and I know everybody who knows her had nothing but respect for her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. And to that point, Rick, yes, anybody's listening and anybody has a story or a narrative of somebody within the city that they really think needs to be highlighted, or just, you know, the impact they have in the city, please feel free to call or email us, just because, yeah, those stories, I think, they're the most fun to write because they're the most encouraging. They remind you of just, like, the individuals within a community and how they impact so much of our daily lives. So.
Taylor, give us your email address and phone number that people should connect with.
Yeah, so they can reach me at 978-675-2705 or email at tbradford@gloucestertimes.com. So again, that's T as in toy, Bradford@gloucestertimes.com.
Okay, very good. Okay, so let's switch gears now a little bit, and let's talk about some major topics that you have been covering, and we'll start with housing. That's a topic that is on every mayor's and every town manager's mind, I think, in the whole Commonwealth.
Yeah, so talk about trying to make the community a better place. The city's been talking a long time about how to make the city affordable for Gloucester residents. And we've talked about this on the podcast before, Rick, and you know, they in this pursuit, the planning board is going through five different kind of objectives, and the first one is an amendment to inclusionary zoning ordinances within the city. So very detailed, very nitty-gritty stuff, but they had a public hearing about those changes and on the ways in which they're trying to really focus who would be able to afford housing here in the city. And so 23 members, including the mayor and city councilors and representatives from different organizations here in the city, logged on just to kind of express their excitement for these amendments and kind of what it means for, if it does get approved, what it means. And so at the end of the afternoon, the planning board approved kind of their drafted amendments, and they're going to send that off to the city council. If the city council approves, then that will kind of go into the processes of being changed, and just to kind of get a sneak peek of what these amendments are and the impact that they have on the city. So one is they're lowering the threshold of applicability for developments with 8 housing units to 6 housing units. They're requiring 10% of units to be deed restricted as affordable to households earning 80% of area median income in developments between 6 and 9 units. So just really trying to emphasize, well, you know, there might be people who are earning 80% of that area median income for the city or for the 110 communities that Gloucester is lumped into by the state. They are really trying to focus on those who are earning less, the 60% of the area median income, and kind of really focusing on how can we make it more affordable for that group of people. So something that's really interesting is they're requiring 15% of housing units to be deed restricted as affordable to households earning 80% AMI, or 10% of housing units to be deed restricted as affordable households earning 60% AMI. So that's the key one, those households earning 60% AMI in developments of 10 units or greater. So there's a lot of details there, but I really think that the gist of it is that Greg Catamatori and his crew, the planning board, are just focused on how do we think about Gloucester, right? We talk a lot about here in the city of Gloucester, helping Gloucester. And that's really what this planning board is seeking after, and what the community members have just really appreciated, is from what I can understand from the meetings, is just how they're really looking at, you know, the people here in the mm-hmm. city, not just, I think, the broader view that we see sometimes of just a community, but they're really trying to take into account the majority of people here in the city and how those people are impacted daily by just what it costs to live here, and as new developments come in, how those developments are impacting just the ways in which they can go about living.
Well, two things come to mind. One is the care that's going into this, and at least in Gloucester, there is a real concerted effort to try to make more affordable housing, and that's very encouraging. And the second thing is, I'm pretty good at stats, being a math teacher, but I can't keep all those statistics in my mind and just spew them out like you just did. So it's great to be able to do that from memory, Taylor, and I appreciate that. All right, so let's move along here. No, it's terrific, terrific stuff. And I obviously we're going to continue that, and you'll be writing on that in the near future, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I find this stuff fascinating because as somebody who really loves the idea of affordable housing and loves the opportunity that it brings to bring more people to live in the city that they love, I also love, as you know, going outside into nature. So I love seeing how those two things relate. And, mm-hmm. you know, sometimes there's the dissonance or the tension between the two, but also how people work together to try to make it a cohesive conversation. And I love covering that type of stuff, and I really think that this is a great example of just a planning board that's really trying to make that as a positive impact as possible on as many people and the place as well. So
yeah,
interesting stuff we'll definitely be covering in the near future.
All this coverage, I wonder if it's applicable toward a degree in political science, if you could use this and get some credits, because you know, you're really you're learning a lot and you're explaining a lot at the same time, which is really cool. Okay, next topic, city council, I guess, if I have this correctly, meeting, I'm not sure I have it right, but it's something to do with the firing range in West Gloucester is still taking up some time.
Yeah, so I think this is a great example of residents seeing something that they don't agree with and really sticking with it, and really keeping the conversation alive. So, for people who haven't been covering it, the West Gloucester firing range is up in use by the Gloucester Police Department, and there was an amendment to the ordinance about this shooting range back in April of last year. But the processes by which they amended it, kind of due to COVID and just kind of the time and how the city council went about making the amendment, wasn't necessarily approved, or the residents didn't like the way in which it was done. You know, although they did reach out and notify people, or some people, they felt like it wasn't widely advertised. And now that it is widely advertised, there's a lot of people in opposition to the fact that the Gloucester Police Department is having a firing range over at West Gloucester, you know, behind or by the Red Rock Conservation Area. And so ever since they had a public hearing about a month ago, every single oral communication at a city council meeting, hordes of residents have been logging on to express their frustrations and concerns about having a firing range over in this area. And so I went into Tuesday's meeting with a plan to write a health update from Karen Carroll, but actually had to shift gears because an hour and a half into the meeting, they were still on oral communications with residents expressing frustrations about the West Gloucester firing range, about the traffic commission's meeting that happened the week prior, about the traffic analysis done by Doran Whittier for the new combined elementary school for the relocation of Meadows Field. And an hour and a half into this meeting, the oral communications kept coming. And so Melissa Cox, one of the counselors, kind of noted that the updates that Karen Carroll were going to give, she was just wondering if she could come back in the later time to give those, just because she acknowledged that as city counselors, it's their job to listen to the community and kind of take in those frustrations. But it wasn't their responsibility of the health department, so to say, or, you know, Carl Ellis, who was there to also present about the Young Legends hockey update over at Stage 4 Park. And so while it shifted the meeting and, you know, there were no updates about COVID-19 here in the city that evening, I think it does speak to the fact that there is a story there, right? There's a story of residents being persistent about something that they're passionate about. And so warranted the story, and it's something that we're going to continue to cover as the city's ordinance administration standing committee has a meeting this upcoming Monday to discuss the firing range and see, you know, what's a compromise that they can make and how can they maybe find ways to appease both the residents but also what is needed by the Gloucester Police Department.
Sounds like democracy in action to me. We're talking with Taylor Ann Bradford in our biweekly chats, Taylor of the Gloucester Times, Gloucester Times journalist. And all right. Final item on our agenda here is, and I caught news of this a few days ago, I guess it was, my daughter and my wife, but my younger daughter in particular, absolutely loves sushi, and you've got a story on that.
I do. So, actually, speaking of the Gloucester Police Department, this was a tip given by Chief Ed Conley. He said, you know, Taylor, I've had the best sushi that I've had in a very long time, and you need to know where it came from. It came here right in Gloucester. And so he gave me the name of the man who's making this sushi, and so I got an opportunity to go over to Savor Wine and Cheese and to their back kitchen and meet Song Lee. Song Lee is a sushi chef who has lived all over the East Coast. He's originally from Korea, and he has, I think, the biggest passion for seafood that I've ever seen. And I think it matches, or maybe almost even, I don't know if I should say this, but maybe even exceeds some fishermen's passion for seafood. Just because he is so fascinated by the process and about producing quality food.
Okay, let me interrupt you. I think you can say that about fishermen, but don't say that about Safathia. No one loves seafood more than the mayor.
You know, I think you're right there. And yeah, that's a good point. I'll make that clear. So, but yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I feel like they could have a great conversation about seafood nonetheless, because Song has worked over 20 years to perfect the art of creating quality sushi, and he's come here to Gloucester to create some of the most intricate detailed boxes that you can imagine. So his service, called Sushi Song Lee, runs from 5 to 8 p.m. Thursday to Sunday, with a limit of 24 omakase orders per night. And Lee's omakase, or his chef's choice, is priced at $65 a box, with 9 pieces of top grade local and Japanese fish. And the reason I think that, you know, it's such quality is that he's working with the community. So we actually got to tour around with Song, and he introduced us to the fishermen that he collaborates with to get fresh tuna that's, you know, no more than 30 days old, or you know, going over to Interschell and meeting the seafood wholesalers who are, you know, providing him with those fish that he might not be able to get locally. And then going to Savor and meeting the people over there who help kind of pair his sushi with some sake, you know, trying to get the best pairings for those meals that people are eating. And so I think Song's biggest passion is also educating people about, you know, what are some of the types of fish that you wouldn't necessarily expect to have in sushi, but actually make great sushi. But then also educating them about how to make sushi themselves, and how to make, you know, good rice, make, you know, in a really fun way. He's, you know, mentioned that during COVID, a lot of people are inside, so it's a great opportunity for them to try his stuff, but also wanting to teach others how they can make it at home, because, right, this is a community effort, and he seems that he's very passionate about Gloucester and Rockport. As him and his wife come here, he met his wife here. You know, his stepchildren live here, and it just seems like he's a huge passion for this area and for the fish that live just over the boardwalk in the sea. So,
all right, we're going to link to these stories, of course. We're linked right here below the audio. And Taylor, tell me a little bit about you've got some future stuff coming up on this. There's a magazine coming out soon.
Yeah, so Cape Ann Magazine, which is our, you know, sister magazine, part of the North Boston Media Group, is going to be coming out in March, and there's some great stories in there. And we have a longer piece. You can find our story about Song Lee on our website at GloucesterTimes.com, but there will be, you know, coming in the near future, a longer piece on Song, and not only his story of how he came to be here in Gloucester, but more on that relationship that he has created and been a part of throughout here in Gloucester, whether it's the fishermen, Interschell, and others, as they all strive to produce quality over quantity, and take that time to really think about how the fish in the sea and the people who are preparing it can all work together to make Gloucester a better and tastier place.
All right, we look forward to that. And finally, Friday means Taylor Ann Bradford's column. Will you be can you tease us a little bit about what's coming up?
So, because it was so warm outside this week, I actually am taking a break.
Okay, good for you.
So, from the column this week, you know, it's been pretty busy here in the city, just with some city business and other things popping up. And so while I was able to get outside, I don't have a column for this week. But, you know, what that means is that anybody who did get to go outside this week and really enjoyed themselves on the different trails here in Cape Ann, feel free to send us a photo, and, you know, who knows, maybe it'll pop up in the next,
edition
of What's the Riding Desk. So.
That's a good idea. I think we need a collection of your columns along with Sean's columns on Fish On, and there should be a whole collection of these, that because you can read and then reread them, because, you know, the stuff you write about, it doesn't go away. That stuff is still there, so maybe we can compile that somehow. All right, Taylor, that's Taylor Ann Bradford of the Gloucester Times, and we'll talk to you again in a couple of weeks.
Sounds great. Have a great weekend.
This has been Connections, a podcast connecting you with news, newsmakers, sports, and entertainment voices all over the North Shore. Brought to you by Moynihan Lumber of Beverly, North Reading, and Flashdown, New Hampshire, by the Institution for Savings, based in Newburyport, with branches throughout the region. Connect with Connections by emailing msonewsports@gmail.com.